Welcome to today's People's Bank Let's Talk Indianola. I'm Andrew Swadner. On today's program, we talk with State Representative Brooke Bowden regarding the latest in the Iowa legislature. Checking back in with the Iowa legislature with State Representative Brooke Bowden. And Brooke, one of the big things passed by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Reynolds was limiting or capping the number that people who sue doctors and hospitals in malpractice suits can get. Talk about why the legislature tackled that, why you felt that you were in favor of that, and just kind of the overall outcomes of the bill.
Absolutely. So, you know, this has been a topic of conversation since I was elected and prior to for several years. And so this is something that we've had a lot of discussions on. And my district expanded into the Marion County area, which has its own hospital. So Warren County accesses Polk County. So spent a lot of time talking to medical providers, hospital, the lawyer side of this, victims, and just trying to make the best decision for all Iowans. I want to make it clear that it does not limit punitive damages or economic damages. What it does limit is that non-economic damage where there's, you know, it's all about, it's not that you can't put a dollar amount on it. It's pain and suffering or emotional distraught or those kind of things. And so, you know, what I heard from our doctors, especially our rural hospitals, rural providers was, you know, these assurances are what will keep our OBs and towns and districts that are now losing them by the dozens, because these doctors graduate, and let's face it, Iowa has, we have a great place to raise our families, and but we don't have beaches and sunshine all the time. So remaining competitive is always an important thing to retain these students that come to Iowa and go through all of our programs. And one of the things that these students said when they came and talked to me was, you know, these are things we look at. You know, mistakes happen. We know that. And what happens with that? You know, we always think about the McDonald's suit where somebody spilled coffee in their lap and just was able to sue McDonald's until, you know, they, you know, to kingdom come. So, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to that. And so in this, you still have your economic damages. They're still going to make sure that all your medical care and all the things that you are going to receive, you will receive. And then there's punitive damages that are not capped. It's a non-economic that is capped at $2 million for hospital and $1 million for doctors. You know, just also keeping in mind that during this process, I fought hard to make sure that mothers had an economic value, that was put in. We also have now an inflation rate for, as you know, if you're injured when you're 17, clear toe when you pass away, that there would be inflation after that. And so this bill got better each year, and we know that access to our rural medical care is just extremely important. So I decided to be a yes vote on it.
All right. And then you also talked about your oversight committee responsibilities. Talk about some of the actions that you've had there and just one of the things you're keeping up with in the legislature.
Sure. So, you know, oversight had a pretty big meeting the other night, and we had heard from so many parents that have gone through the book review process with inside our schools with sexually explicit material that's being offered and what that looks like for some schools. There's, you know, many hoops to jump through and processes, and then for other schools, there's just a few people that they go through, and what that all looks like, what that administrative bureaucracy basically looks like. And it's very challenging for parents. It's honestly, in my opinion, a bureaucratic mess, and we've got to make sure that the parents have the ability to come forward with books that they feel need some review. Now, a lot of people want to go out and say that we're trying to ban books. I absolutely want to make sure that that is not said here in this radio interview. That's not what we're looking at. We are truly looking at sexually explicit materials that are disturbing, so disturbing that I know that if I started reading them to you, you would have to shut me down. They are things that you would not expect would be in our schools. And I will have that in my newsletter, and people can on their own go out and look at that material. It is something that, you know, we have a state law on pornography, but it also pretty much exempts schools from they're allowed to have this. If I pass this stuff out, you know, to children, I could be charged with, you know, all kinds of charges for distributing to a minor. And so I think that what we need to look at is, you know, how do we just make sure that, you know, first of all, we're looking at all the books that come into the classroom. We know what's there. Second of all, what does that look like? Do we need special requests from the parents to check them out? Do they actually need to be in the school? I've got parents that have come to me. They got K through 12 kids. One of these books is sitting out on a table. Their small child went in and had a nice preview of a book that I don't think most of us would want our kids to see. So these are things that nobody wants to have to talk about. You know, there's lots of things we got to move through in here, but making sure that our children are protected from that kind of environment is just really important to me. And so we're having those conversations, what that looks like, how administration views it, and what they're going to do. We'll have them back in on the 20th, the administrators and the school boards, just kind of talk about their policies, how they construct their policies and what that looks like. And you know, and having those conversations about what is age appropriate and how do we make sure that we're not violating anybody's rights on either side. So I appreciate you letting me discuss that. It's something that is a hot topic right now. And of course, the catchphrase is always that we want to ban books, and that's not it at all.
Well, and then final thing, anything you want to message out to constituents over the next couple of weeks before we get a chance to talk to you again? Anything you're pushing for or something for them to watch out for?
You know, I've got several bills that are slowly coming through. Nothing that's probably super earth-shattering. You know, there's still conversation going around about if we're going to be looking at our property tax valuation, and you know, we've heard from the cities on that, and we're starting to hear from the people as well. I heard from that, you know, knocking doors. That's number one. People are telling me they couldn't afford their property taxes. What does that look like? How do we make sure that our cities are still able to function? We don't take money away from them that they need. How do we balance that? And so, you know, our district's weighing in with us right now on that, both from the city perspective and those who run our budgets and those who pay the bills are good conversations to be having with your representatives and senators.
Thanks to State Representative Brooke Bowden for joining us on today's program. If you missed any of our Let's Talk programs, find them online daily at KNIAKRLS.com under podcasts and subscribe through Apple, Google, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's People's Bank Let's Talk Indianola. People's Bank in Indianola, Pleasantville, Carlisle, Knoxville, and more. Service you expect from people you trust. Member FDIC.